Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into another edition of the NFL Front Office Show. I'm your host, Brian Hughes, brought to you by the Sports City Chefs. I am joined by two other Sports City Chef hosts I have with me today. First, let me introduce you to our guest host, if you will, that's been with us during the grading process, and that is Mr. James Greenwood, formerly of the NFL Gridiron Chef Show and also formerly of the NFL Front Office Show from previous years. James, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brian. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Fantastic. Thank you for asking me. I did want to get to, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I think it's important at least to kind of discuss some of the news and notes real quickly. I want to spend about 5 minutes on it. Some of the things that have stuck out this last week, we did get the penalties that would be levied against the New England Patriots. They're going to lose a first and fourth round pick. Tom Brady suspended 4 games. Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots organization fined $1 million. Do you think it's inbounds, out of bounds? Do you think it's fair, just? What's your thoughts?
To be completely honest, I think that, well, first of all, it is the heaviest penalty the NFL has ever levied on a team as far as fine and picks are concerned. So, I mean, it depends on how outraged you are on what Deflategate is. I think it's either right there or a little over the edge for the penalty on the Patriots. I think they went a little light, on the other hand, on Tom Brady, considering the evidence that they have on him. I know it's not ironclad beyond a reasonable doubt, you know, if you were in a court of criminal law, I don't think it would have held up. But at the end of the day, I think that the wording of the report is more likely than not he was somehow involved. And when it comes to this organization with this history, and it seems that it might have been a little light, in my personal opinion. I think a lot of people will be surprised to hear me say that, but I think that in this time and age in the NFL that we need to, that they are starting to lose credibility quickly with everything that's going on. It's been a PR nightmare for Roger Goodell in the office, and they needed to come down hard on this to maintain a little bit of order.
All right, well, I do have my co-host in the building here, Mr. Rodri Jones from across the pond in the UK. Mr. Jones, how you doing today, sir? Rodri, are you there? Okay. Looks like we may be having a little bit of technical difficulty. Rodri, give me 1 second. Let me try and it might be a switchboard thing. Let me work at getting him in here. While we're doing that, James, go ahead and respond for me. The Dolphins went ahead and gave almost $80 million of new money to Ryan Tannehill, locking him up long-term. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think Ryan Tannehill has proven to be a guy that's worth that kind of contract?
Actually, yes. Considering what you compare it to, you compare it to Andy Dalton getting a quote-unquote $100 million contract, Colin Kaepernick getting the same money. I think that when you're talking about $80 million for, I believe, a four-year contract on Ryan Tannehill, I kind of think of this in two ways. In one way, it is another NFL team incredibly concerned about losing what is a middle-of-the-road starting quarterback in the NFL, which, I mean, knowing how hard it is to find a middle-of-the-road starting quarterback in the NFL, it makes a lot of sense. Plus, they're doing it in a fashion that places them in pretty good standing, salary cap-wise, over the course of those 4 years. So there's not a lot of risk in this in this particular contract. And ultimately, this is a good move by the Dolphins to extend Tannehill to see what he will be in 2 or 3 years and then see what their direction forward is on him. So I like the notion for the Miami Dolphins.
And I do believe I got the switchboard corrected here. So let's try this one more time. My co-host here on the NFL Front Office Show, Mr. Roderick Jones. Mr. Jones, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, how's it going, Bry? That's bad. Can you hear me?
Sir, sure can. So we've touched on a couple topics, sir, while we're waiting for you to come on. And I just want to get your opinion, and then we're going to jump right in. I think it's important to talk about some of the news and notes. Number one, do you think that the penalty that the NFL levied against New England, do you think it was enough? Do you think it was fair, too much? And also, Ryan Tannehill just received a contract extension, giving him almost $80 million in new money. What's your thoughts on those two particular NFL notes that we've thrown out there?
Yeah, I think a lot was made out of this Deflategate, this New England thing. I really think that was quite a harsh penalty. For me, you know, I think Roger Goodell has had so much on his plate the last few years. He just needs to sort of throw these fines around now just to make sure that he's doing the right thing, because things come up in the future, you know, and you look back at a situation and it comes up in the future, and then if he hasn't done the right job, then he gets blamed for it. So he's sort of covering his back all the time, I feel now, you know, he's in that situation. I like what Ryan Tannehill's done in Miami. I think Joe Philbin and him are starting to get a bit of a thing now. You know, he's starting to pick that offense up. You know, he's a middle of the road quarterback for me at the moment. You know, this is a big year for him. See if he earns his money. I mean, $77 million is a lot of money, and he needs to go out and earn it now. And you know, he showed signs last year. You know, Jarvis Landry's a nice rookie. He used him well last year, and he sort of started to get a few targets. I think he can be good. Yeah, I like Ryan Tannehill. I like his poise and his, you know, his personality. I think he's a good kid, and I think he's well worth the money. I hope he can just play well enough to earn it now, and we'll see how it goes.
All right, guys. last point of note to throw out there, and then we have to get into this because I don't want to leave any of the team short on time. Maybe it's because I'm somewhat of a homer, I'm not going to lie, but seeing any of the best players in the league retire, it's always a somber moment. Justin Smith, 7-time Pro Bowler, hanging it up after 14 seasons in the NFL, 7 with San Francisco, 7 with the Cincinnati Bengals. Basically, the reasoning, his upper body's just breaking down. He just saying at this point he physically can't play the game at the level that he wants to. Rodri, I'll start with you. What if anything, will you take away with Justin Smith's retirement? I mean, what do you think of when you think of Justin Smith, the Cowboy?
To me, Bry, he showed how to play this 5-technique defensive line position. You know, the stats he put up since he came in from Cincinnati to San Francisco. You know, Jim Tom Sewell was a great defensive line coach. He's gone to head coach. I thought that Justin Smith would have had another season under him just to sort of, you know, say, oh, well done, coach. You know, you've gone to head coach. I'll play on you. But obviously his body couldn't take it. And for me, he's shown guys like J.J. Watt and Mo Wilkerson today, you know, him and guys like Aaron Smith from Pittsburgh sort of showed these guys, you know, how to put stats up, and you've got two men on you. You know, he was just a monster, and he was so underrated. I feel like I was so underrated, and I love watching him play. You know, when I watch the Niners, I used to watch him a lot, and just to see how he used to just beat up two people all the time, take on two guards and two blockers, two you know, and just throw them around. And yeah, I'm just definitely gonna miss that because he was a hell of a player, and one I'll definitely miss in San Francisco.
All right, James, I'm going to give you a quick thought because I do want to start here in the next minute on our topic. Justin Smith, what will you remember, what will you think of when the name is mentioned moving forward now that he's retiring?
I think the one word I'll think of is underrated when it comes to Justin Smith. I don't think that people really appreciate what he did for that San Francisco defense, and the only thing I can think about right now is how terrible this offseason's been for San Francisco. From an entire point of view, they lost two Hall of Fame caliber talents and the replacement for that Hall of Fame caliber talent, as well as a bunch of guys leaving for free agency, head coaching changes. All these things are all piling on top. It's really going to be interesting / incredibly difficult for San Francisco going into the season.
Right, and you know, for me, I mean, Justin Smith has had so many incredible individual plays, but I'm just going to capsulize it by saying that not just sheer strength, but mainly leverage. He's probably, outside of Haloti Ngata, he's probably the strongest guy I've ever seen in the NFL. I've watched him literally throw guards right back into the quarterback and knock the quarterback down with their own player. I can remember him, you know, leaping over a guard to grab Drew Brees and sacking Drew Brees and the guard together. You know, that's just the type of player he was. He will definitely be missed. The NFL has definitely lost, in my opinion, one of their best defensive linemen. But nevertheless, there is a new class that's coming in to hopefully, you know, new potential stars. And I think it's important that we jump right into this. And I want to start with the AFC North. And I think we should start with the lowest team on the totem pole, which is the Cleveland Browns. Guys, there was a lot of expectations for this draft coming into this year. A lot of people, you know, said, look, this team has two first-round picks. They had Buffalo's first-round pick from the Sammy Watkins trade. They got two picks in the top 20. A lot of people were talking quarterback. They didn't draft a quarterback. And I think their grade largely depends on whether or not you believe Johnny Manziel can be that player. But in round 1, pick 12, they took Danny Shelton, the nose tackle from Washington. Round 1, pick 19, they took Cameron Irvin, the offensive lineman from Florida State. At second round pick, they took Nate Orchard, the talented defensive end from Utah. And that's obviously their primary picks. There's more picks to discuss, but starting there, in round 3, I think it's important to throw out, in round 3, they did select Duke Johnson, the running back from Miami. Robert, what was your overall impression of the draft that you saw by the Cleveland Browns? And feel free to discuss the later picks. I'm trying to limit time-wise, but do you think it's going to hinder them that they didn't trade up to get a quarterback?
I do think that. I honestly don't know if Johnny Manziel is the guy going forward. Like you said, I think that's what we need to find out, right? I mean, obviously, you know, with the quarterbacks that was there, I think they were a bit too high for them to pick. But to me, I think that Johnny Manziel has got to sort it out now and be the franchise quarterback. I like Danny Shelton. There's no question I like Danny Shelton. To me, Cameron Irvin was a bit of a, you know, he's played left tackle and center at Florida State. And, you know, the Browns are pretty much set at those positions with Alex Mack and Joe Thomas. So, you know, what are they going to do with him? They probably move him to guard. I'll go through it quickly. There was a player they had, Brian, in the 7th round. Mina was talking about him the week before. Ifo Ekpre Olomu from Oregon, the cornerback. That injuries have really hurt this guy. You know, I mean, he's got a first-round grade, you know, from tape. But, you know, if he can get on the field for him, then this draft can be a good draft just based on what he does, you know, because he's got the potential to be a fantastic player. Duke Johnson's a good running back from Miami. Nate Orchard is good. Yeah, you know, I'll give him a solid B. But to me, they didn't get big better at wide receiver. I thought they needed to get better at wide receiver. They didn't. And yeah, to me, that was a problem they had. And you know, obviously they haven't got their franchise quarterback. But Johnny Manziel can't sort it out. So I'll give him a solid B.
All right, James, what was your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns draft?
There's a lot to like about Cleveland Brown and what they did draft-wise. Danny Shelton is a guy who I think is an incredible talent. Personally, I think he has a little bit of for a guy his size, he's got an incredible motor, but unfortunately, I think that guys his size tend to run a little colder on their motor than most. I think that if they are able to keep Phil Taylor in-house and are able to rotate those two around quite every other series, every few plays, I think that could be an amazing development for Cleveland, having both those guys fresh throughout the day, and could be real potential problems for other teams in the AFC North. I think Cameron Irving was another really good pick. I'm assuming they're going to kick him to the guard position, because obviously Alex Mack is still in Cleveland. So that's, I think, a good value pick, but I have to see what they're planning on doing with that for the future. Nate Orchard is a pretty decent player in his own right. Duke Johnson could potentially be the steal of round two. They've got some really good backs in Cleveland, but I don't think that they have a back of the specific talents that Duke Johnson has. But I think that now they almost have an embarrassment of riches at running back between Terrence West Duke Johnson, and I'm missing the last guy's name, and it's right on the tip of my tongue. Can't believe I forgot it, but he's actually proved to be better than the third round pick Terrence West last season. And then I think Xavier Cooper could be a decent pick in round three as well at the defensive tackle position. And then finally, you got to talk about Charles Gaines, who was a pretty good value pick in round six, and Epeke Olomu from Oregon, who, as Rotary commented on, if it wasn't for the injury, this guy probably would have been a third-round pick. So sit him there for the 3 or 4 years of his contract and see if he heals, and you could have yet another potential starter that could fill in for a guy you're going to eventually lose in free agency. So there's a lot of really good things to say about Cleveland Browns. I think I gave them a really solid B+/A- for the draft grade.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, for me, just looking at this team, I'm with you, James. I like this draft quite a bit. I gave him an A-. The player you were trying to think of was Isaiah Crowell.
That's it.
But, you know, I was looking at this draft, and I got to tell you guys, there's only one thing on this draft that I would change. One player that I would change, and this is a preference thing. So this is the reason why I couldn't knock them and drag them any lower, because this is a preference thing. And Rodri, when I say this, you'll know exactly what I mean and where I'm going with this, because you know how I feel about this player. I felt like Cameron Irving, although many people said, look, he's the best interior line player in this draft, I feel like at pick 19, I feel like you could have got better value at a skill position. You still had Bud Dupree on the board, a guy that will now be lining up against you in Pittsburgh. And I feel, my opinion, but obviously my grade, I feel Bud Dupree is the best pass rusher in this draft. And this will come to fruition this year. People are going to quickly, in Steeltown, people are going to quickly realize their best pass rusher is Bud Dupree. He is going to outperform all the outside linebackers on that roster. All the Jarvis Jones, all the high picks that they've had to this point. But that, like I said, it's a preference thing. I know they took Nate Orchard in the second round, who's a really, really good player. I just don't think he has that initial first step or burst like a Bud Dupree. But I commend the Browns. Rodri, this is something I know we talked about, buddy. I was pounding the drum, pounding my fist, whatever you want to call it. Do not take a quarterback. Cleveland, please do not make this mistake. You do not draft a quarterback in the first round, have him start six games, and then all of a sudden draft another new quarterback and start over. If you believed in Johnny Manziel last year, there's no reason you shouldn't still believe in him this year. And I wasn't a huge Johnny Manziel fan, but then again, I'm not the guy that drafted him. So I give them major kudos for that. I disagree with you, James. I think Danny Shelton is a rare, rare talent. You look at nose tackles in the NFL, and this is something that I talked about with Rodri, more so than pass rushers or any other position. You look at Vince Wilfork. You look at Haloti Ngata. You look at all the real primetime Casey Hampton. These guys are all first-round picks that are all selected in the top half of the first round. And the reason being is you don't see guys with that type of measurables, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 330 pounds, that can play three downs. And he can. He's got incredible stamina. He's a great player. And more so than that, he's a better human being. I think Cleveland made a huge improvement just by selecting Danny Shelton on helping to improve that defensive line. A lot of the same way that Marcell Dareus made a huge impact on the Buffalo Bills defensive line, I think you'll see the same thing with Danny Shelton. I think he's a special player. I think he's going to help to shore up that run defense. I think it was an excellent selection. You guys have mentioned some of the other picks. Rodri, a guy I mentioned that I said, look, this guy could go a lot higher than many people believe. I know you remember Xavier Cooper, the defensive tackle from Washington State. I told you I love this kid on tape. I think they got another great pick here. And then, as you mentioned, Ekpre from Oregon. I think he's an awesome selection in the seventh round. If this kid's healthy, you could make an argument he's the best corner in his draft, you know, because no character concerns, absolute ball hawk. He reminds me of Brett Grimes. Go back and watch the tape of this kid from 2013. I mean, this kid looks like he's got about a 45 to 47-inch vertical jump. Very, very good vertical. He's only 5'9", but he reminds me a lot of Brett Grimes. He's got elite movement skills. I really like the pick a lot. So I give the Browns, like I said, I'm going to give the Browns my highest grade to this point, and, you know, and that's an A-. I gave two NFC teams that, but I really, really enjoyed what the Browns did. Rodri, I'm going to come over to you, or excuse me, you started it off, so let me go over to James. James, I'm going to start now with the Bengals. Everybody has done their Browns analysis. The Bengals also had one selection in each of the first two rounds, two picks in the third. And those picks were Cedric Ogbuli, offensive tackle from Texas A&M, round two, Jake Fisher, offensive tackle from Oregon. And then in round three, we saw Taylor Kroft, tight end from Rutgers, and also Paul Dawson, the inside linebacker from TCU. Obviously, you know, they did have some other picks, but like I said, I'll leave that up to you guys to discuss. What'd you think of the Bengals draft?
It's very tough because I usually start looking for day one starters when I start grading my drafts. And the Bengals are a team where there's not going to be a lot of players that are going to make contributions in day one. I think that there are some guys I think have some fantastic potential, but there's nobody that really screams out at me, which is why it's really tough to make that decision. I think that the kid from Texas A&M will probably get a day one start potentially, but I think a lot of these guys we're not going to see for a couple of years. And with that said, I think that eventually the kid from A&M and Fisher are both going to eventually start, and we could, but I don't see Kroft getting a start anytime soon because that team is deep, is incredibly deep at the tight end position. Paul Dawson, I could potentially see sitting around on special teams for years. I'm not enamored with this draft. I give it a B-.
All right, Rodri, Cincinnati Bengals draft. What's your thoughts? James gave it a B-. He's not that thrilled with it. What's your thoughts?
I'm going to disagree a bit with James there. To me, you know, and this gives you an inside look at how much a player's got, you know, power over the draft. Because Andrew Whitworth said before the draft, if they draft the tackle, then I'm going to kick off. He said I'm going to go mad. And they draft one in the first and second round. So you know, Andrew Whitworth, one of the most respected players, had no say in it. You know what I mean? So, okay, Jake Fisher and O'Berry, we know Andre Smith and Andrew Whitworth both in the final year of their contracts. So that's the reason behind those picks. Where they're going to sit both of them, I do not know. possibly. I thought Andre Smith Gould was moving to guard, but I don't think he will. I just think they both sit, possibly. Tyler Croft, you know, Eifert's coming off an injury and Jermaine Gresham's gone. So, you know, he's got some ability to get on field, so he's a good player. I really like Paul Dawson. You know, he didn't run well at the combine now, but he can make plays all over the field at the TCO. For me, one of the best players they took was Josh Short of Southern California. This is a kid who I had fifth ranked on my cornerbacks. I really like him. I think this system is excellent for him. You know, and I thought they were having an excellent draft value wise up to this pick. You know, it's one of the few schemes that allow him to play and stay at cornerback, because that's what I think he's going to be best at. He can be sort of like a Fitzgerald. You know, I think he can really play that position. Daron Smith, I liked as a safety in the sixth round. I thought that was a great pick. And, you know, Hardison, Zoma, tight end. They picked another tight end up in the fifth round. So I think that's concerns over that, the injuries of Eifert. I think they're, you know, showing that. And more camp competition there with the Zoma. And Mario Alford in the seventh round. So for me, you know, I really like them. I'm going to give him a B+. Almost an A-. So I'm going to give him a B+ and a solid draft by the Bengals. And we like the Josh Shaw and Paul Dawson pick in the fourth and third and fourth round.
Yeah, and Rodri, I'm right in the on the fence. I'm in between you and James. I gave him a solid B. I actually agree with you. I liked the two offensive tackles back-to-back because I like the two guys, and I actually think Jake Fisher, the offensive tackle from Oregon, is the better player, and we'll see how that plays out. But, I mean, you got to look at this team and their depth chart. Remember, last year, the starting offensive tackles were Eric Winston and Andrew Whitworth, both guys that are going to be in their mid-30s at the start of this season. So at the very worst, You're protecting against injury, because the backup tackle is a swing player in Marshall Newhouse that we all know the Packers didn't want to see on the field. So they definitely don't want to see him on the field. And you start talking about Fisher, you start talking about you know, these draft picks, you start talking about Ugabui, and you talk about Fisher. These guys are both very adept in the run game, and that's really what Cincinnati wants to be. You know, you talk about Jeremy Hill, Andy Dalton. You look at this team, the way they're constructed, they want to be a team that runs the ball. And so I like the pick. The only pick that I kind of scratched my head a little bit on, and I'm going to agree with James here, and the only reason why the grade couldn't be any higher, I really like Tyler Croft. I think he's a good player, but I think he was a pick that – didn't necessarily need to be made in the third round. I mean, you have Gresham for two more years. You have Eifert for, I think, three or four more years. Where is Croft going to break in? I mean, I get everybody wants to have two or three tight ends on the rosters now, that, you know, good tight ends, but, I have a good third tight end to where your two tight end set doesn't get hurt. If you don't have one of your two starters, but I mean, you're basically protecting against injury. When I felt like, you know, if you look at defensive line, wide receiver, linebacker, there was other positions that maybe were a touch more important. I really like the Marcus Harrison pick too, also from Arizona State. So, I mean, there was some picks here that I really, really like. And the last pick I got to touch on is Daron Smith. I had him in my top five safeties. I think he's one of the most instinctual safeties in this draft. If not for the sports hernia injury, I think this kid would have been way, way higher. I think he's probably a second or third round pick. And I think he's a guy that could have potentially been the second or third safety off the board. Really, really good players. So they got a lot of really good players that can definitely help them moving forward. And that's all you can really ever ask for. So I think we all get a sense of where we're at. The Pittsburgh Steelers, James, you bat lead off on this one. The Pittsburgh Steelers, what did you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers draft? They took Bud Dupree, the outside linebacker from Kentucky, round one. Round two, Cinquez Goldson, Golson, the corner from Mississippi. Round 3, Sandy Coates, wide receiver. Round 4, Dorian Grant, corner. Round 5, Jesse James, tight end. Round 6, they had 2 selections. They took Anthony Chiquillo, defensive end from Miami, and also Latiris Walton, defensive tackle from Central Michigan. And finally, in round 7, they took Jared Holloman, the free safety from Louisville.
I really like a lot of what I see in this draft. Bud Dupree, I think, could arguably be considered the steal of the entire first round. Just an incredible value. I'm right there with you saying that he is among the top pass rushers in this draft class. And I think that he's more of a three-down player than a lot of the quote-unquote better pass rushers in this draft class. I think that they got a phenomenal steal there. Sammy Coates is a guy that I really want to like. That's the thing. Like, I really want to like Sammy Coates. Like, the upside to Sammy Coates, I think that he can be a Terrell Owens caliber wide receiver. He can be. He has to learn how to catch. The biggest thing that really sours me on Sammy Coates is he double catches way too much, but he's got that height, weight, speed, big-bodied, long arms, huge hands. He has what you need, but he needs to learn how to catch better. And if he does that, he can be a player that people are wondering how the hell he fell to the third round in 3 years. But it's the most important thing that he's lacking, and that's kind of scary for the Steelers fans. Saquiz Golson, a decent pick and a huge need. I think him and Dorian Grant are going to see the field relatively early because of the kind of the power acting that we've seen in the secondary of the Pittsburgh Steelers lately. I think their best pick and could be in the argument for biggest steal in the draft is Anthony Chiquitillo, who is the defensive end from Miami. I saw him in Senior Bowl week, had a really good week there. And there's a lot of potential in this kid and could potentially see the field relatively early in his career, not year 1 or 2, but definitely eventually.
So what's the overall grade you give?
Yeah, B+.
All right. Rodri, what's your thoughts on this draft?
Yeah, I was shocked to see Bud Dupree there at 22. I thought the Steelers would have been also great pick, Bud Dupree. You guys said all about him. He could possibly turn out to be the best pass rushing end linebacker in this draft, obviously. Senka's golden Ole Miss. I think he can walk in as a starter. He got a ton of athletic ability and he fills a major need. I thought coming into the draft, the Steelers had to sort of address that secondary. And they've done it in the first, in the second, and the fourth round with Doron Grant out of Ohio State also. You know, so I think Grant is more of a zone player than, you know, anybody's competitive and he's tough. And I think that's what they need in Pittsburgh. Sammy Coates, it's hard to argue with the Steelers picking receivers in the middle round. You know, they always seem to hit the nail on the head with them. So Sammy Coates, a great pick. Jesse James, a good tight end, and a local kid out of Penn State. Shaquille, I think you know, I remember him being a 5-star high school player, so, and then he came into Miami. So, you know, I think he played a bit heavy, lost weight, went to the combine, and he can get well coached in Pittsburgh, and I think he's going to have a good career there. Gerard Holman and the Terris Walton also good players to come in and be coached. Although raw, Walton's quite raw. I think he's good, and he's a former offensive lineman out of Central Michigan. You know, so he needs to sort of pick that position up on the front line for Pittsburgh. But Holman again addressing that secondary. I thought they addressed the secondary, which is what they needed to do. So for that, I'm gonna give him a B plus. I'm gonna give him a B plus also.
Yeah, I really like this draft other than one pick, and I'm really trying to wrap my head around it, and I really want to give them an A, but I got to give them a B+. As you guys know, I love Bud Dupree. I am not a fan of Senquez Golden in the second round. I think he's a Tampa 2 corner. I think in Tennessee – I think in Tampa Bay, I think he makes a lot of sense. He's not a man-to-man guy, and if you look at the Steelers, they run a lot, unless they're going to change their scheme, because I know that Dick LeBeau's not there, but with them hiring the linebacker coach, I would assume they're going to keep primarily the same scheme. You know, I just don't like this kid as a man-to-man corner. I much prefer the kid that they took in round four, Dorian Grant. I think he'll be much more successful in that system, in that scheme, in that place. And you guys have touched on a lot of their players, and we are running out of time, but I do feel like there's one guy I got to touch on here. And when we were doing our position groupings, Rodri, and we were doing safeties, which was the last position we did, there was one guy that really popped off at me, but he had a couple major issues. And I don't know if you remember me talking about him, but that's Jared Holloman, their round seventh pick. This guy, in my opinion, even more so than Collins, Landon Collins, or Eric Rowe, or any of the upper echelon guys, I think he has the best ball skills in the entire draft. He broke a 46-year record that had stood for 46 years by intercepting 15 passes in a single season. He picked off Jameis Winston twice, almost three times, but dropped the ball. And was an unbelievable player for Louisville. His biggest problem, though, is, as I said at that time, Rodri, this kid just does not tackle. He is a worse tackler, and this is almost shameful to say, he's a worse tackler than Antonio Cromartie. And everybody, you know, everybody makes the jokes about Cromartie. They are going to have to figure a way of teaching this kid to tackle, but if the light ever comes on, You can teach somebody to tackle probably a lot easier than you can teach them to have ball skills. This kid's a ready-made, you know, future Hall of Famer if he can ever learn to tackle and play with the aggressive nature that you need to in the NFL. But, you know, I like the pick, especially that late. Last, the Baltimore Ravens. This is a playoff team. Rodri, what did you think of this draft? Round one, they took Bashad Perryman, the wide receiver from Central Florida. Round two, Max Williams, tight end, Minnesota. Round three, Carl Davis, defense tackle, Iowa. Round four, they had three selections. They took Za'Darius Smith, defensive end, Kentucky, Jarvis Allen, running back, USC, and Trey Walker, cornerback, Texas Southern. And then in round five, they had two picks, Nick Boyle, tight end, Delaware, and Robert Myers, offensive guard, Tennessee State. And finally, in round six, they took Darren Waller, wide receiver from Georgia Tech. What was your thoughts on their draft, Rodri?
I really like their draft. For me, coming in, they needed speed outside after losing where they lost. You know, obviously, Smith going to the Niners is a big loss. They bring in Brashad Perryman, and awesome. You know, he kicked the fly. He just needs to be a bit more consistent. And they need to get a tight end. They got the best in the draft. You can block also, and that matters. You know, Max Williams at the Minnesota. For me, the best pick. Can't wait to see us get play. Carl Davis from Iowa in round three. Some people had him as a first-round pick. You know, he's been inconsistent. But in the Ravens scheme, I think he'll fit well as an end in the 3-4-5 technique. So I think Carl Davis is one to look out for as a great pick. Going down the line, you know, they had some good picks. You know, Javoris Allen reminds me of Bernard Pierce, so he'd be a good complement to Justin Forsett. Trey Walker at Texas Southern, he's got some nice ball skills. I think he's a more raw version of Jimmy Smith, who they've already got there, which is, you know, somebody you can learn from and pick up. And they got Nick Boyle also, and as you said, just from Delaware down the road. So, you know Baltimore, that's two Delaware players they got with Joe Flacco also. So, yeah, big body, 2'4", 2'6", 2'8", a good player. I'm gonna wind it up. I'm gonna say, yeah, I'm gonna give him a B+. Also, almost going to an A. I really like Carl Davis pick. I think that's gonna be the pick of the draft for them. And really excited to see him play. Good draft for the Baltimore Ravens. They fit it. They got needs, and they got what they had to get. And it'll come down to Perryman, Williams, and Davis to see the final grade. But for me, a B+, because I believe in those players. So yeah.
All right. James, what's your thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens draft?
Just to save time, a lot of what I'm going to say is going to be copy-paste of what Rodri said. Bernard Perryman, I think, can be a fantastic replacement for Torrey Smith. I think Carl Davis is their best pick. I could have easily seen him go in the first round, in the late first round, especially if Brown was selected a little bit higher. I think that's a phenomenal pick. You lose Haloti Ngata, you get Carl Davis in round three. I think that's outstanding. Max Williams, I personally have him a little bit below Clyde Wolford. But you know what? I think that they're at least close enough to say that there's great value there, and it also filled a major need, I believe, for them. Fantastic draft, B+.
Yeah, and you guys have hit on most of the points, so I'm not going to be redundant. I love Max Williams. I think he was their best pick, actually, and I think he's going to pay dividends right away, especially with Pitt always dinged up. The one knock that I have that I almost put this a B- for is I really expected to see some pass rush. This team has lost each year over the last 3 years an outside pass rusher, and they did nothing to help that. So it's a situation that we'll have to keep an eye on. I would have personally liked to have seen a pass rusher. Obviously, they didn't believe that they needed one, but I digress. The we need to move on to the NFC South, the AFC South, excuse me. The AFC South, as you guys know, Tennessee, Houston, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis. The first team that picked was the Jacksonville Jaguars at pick number 3. They took Dante Fowler. I'd like you guys just to grade the draft based off of how they graded, because obviously they can't predict a player tearing an ACL and OTAs or anything like that. But with that said, James, I'll let you go first this time. What was your thought on the Jacksonville Jaguars draft?
Yeah, it's hard to say now that you see the curse of the Jacksonville Jaguars return with Dante Fowler getting the ACL injury. I think that prior to him getting the ACL injury, I thought that he was a decent pick for what he was. I don't think that there were two. I think that outside linebacker was a deeper class. That's why I personally wouldn't have made that particular pick. I would have probably looked elsewhere, offensive tackle perhaps, but I do think that I graded him rather high. TJ Yeldon at running back, I think, is a very good round two pick. I think that was a huge need for them going into the draft as the running back position. Kobe Dinerhart just wasn't going to work. So I think that grabbing TJ Yeldon from Alabama is going to help and pay huge dividends, because it's going to draw people away from those wide receivers, and that could help out a lot. Bring in a guard, AJ Cann, probably another guy who could potentially start right away. Lots of decent picks for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I give them a B.
All right, Rodri, what was your thoughts on the Jaguars draft?
Yeah, I'm gonna ignore the injury to Dante Fowler Jr. I'm going to give him an A-, right? And I tell you why, because I like TJ Yeldon that much. I thought he was that good of a back. I'm also in round three taking AJ Cann for me. You know, I love this kid. He's a mauler in the run game. It makes a ton of sense, you know, building a line. And he's tough and physical, and I thought he was a steal in round three. But I also like James Sample, the safety they took. And I thought Gus Bradley was having a bit of an influence on his draft there. And Rashad Green also is a receiver I like, you know, and Sterling was a receiver I like. Michael Bennett was a defensive lineman I like. So, you know, just going off the plays they picked, I'm going to give him an A- because of that. And I think they matched Carl Davis's pick in Baltimore with AJ Cann in round three. Those two, I'd like to see battle, actually. That would be just a great battle. And they do suit that division so much, you know, because it's such a tough physical division. And, you know, the AFC, sorry, not division. No, they're in different divisions, but, you know, the AFC being tough. I think Baltimore and Jacksonville and football will both get tougher anyway for that. And, sorry, Pittsburgh, I was talking about. But anyway, I think he's a great guard and a great addition. For me, an A-. I really like their draft. Ben Coyote in the 7th round is a good pick also. I thought of Notre Dame. I like him as a tight end. Just a shame about Dante Fowler Jr. Really excited to see him. And when you think, you know, they could have took Leonard Williams, you know, it's like, oh, you know, what a shame, you know, B plus, you know, picking Dante Fowler, they give him. But yeah, no, I'm gonna go, you know, A minus. No feet, Dante Fowler, get back on the field quick. I really like what the Jags are doing, and I like Gus Bradley and his mindset, and I think they're gonna be a good team.
Yeah, you know what, Rodri? I'm right there with you, buddy. I also gave them an A-. This is one of, you know, the five highest grades that I gave in the entire draft. I really, really like this draft. I think they got three immediate starters in Fowler, Yeldon, and A.J. Can, as you stated. I want to add a Mick in there. But I got news for you. I think the two guys that are a little unheralded, that, you know, I know we mentioned all the guys, but Michael Bennett, the defensive tackle from Ohio State, you go back and watch from the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin through the playoff against Oregon. You watch the tape, you know, Alabama. This kid is an absolute menace. He, you know, without a doubt, obviously he needs to become more consistent. But in my opinion, I don't think there's any doubt that his talent and skill set deserved him to be drafted in the first two rounds. I think he's definitely one of the top 64 players, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he is starting some point this year. The other guy is Rashard Greene. Here's a guy that all he's done his entire collegiate career is just be the security blanket for Jameis Winston. He had over 100 catches, by far and away the most on the team, and he drops all the way to the fifth round. Look, I know they've invested heavily with high picks and Robinson and some of these other guys, you know, Marquez or Lee, Cecil Shorts, who's now gone. But I think Rashard Greene is definitely somebody who will get on the field and make an impact in some way, shape, or form. It could be as a slot guy. I think that that's probably where he's best suited. But I definitely think he will get on the field. I think that this draft definitely has helped Bortles become hopefully a better player. They've given him offensive weapons, and in addition to that, they've also provided him additional protection, which is all you can really ask for as a quarterback. Rodri, I'm going to kick right back to you. The Tennessee Titans, when we look at the Tennessee Titans draft, you know, with all the speculation, all the hoopla, if you will, about trading the number two overall pick, they end up going ahead and selecting Marcus Mariota at number two overall. No games, no gimmicks. Round two, they took Darrell Green Beckham, the wide receiver from Missouri. Round three, they took Jeremy Patase, offensive guard from Utah. And then round four, they had a pair of selection, Justin Flower, the fullback from Alabama, and Angelo Blackson, the defensive tackle from Auburn. And round five, they had David Cobb, the running back from Minnesota. Round six saw Andy Gallick, the center from Boston College, as well as Deontrez Mont, the outside linebacker from Louisville. And in round seven, they took Trey McBride, the wide receiver from William & Mary. What was your thoughts on this particular draft?
I think it'll come down to if Mariota can beat out Zach Mettenberger. I like the draft. I know they pick good players again. Patas is a good guard out of Utah. I think he'd come in and compete for the job straight away. Andrew Blackson out of Auburn is a good player. Doyle Green Breckham, you know, he can really help Mariota out if, you know, in Wisnant's offense. 6'5", 237, you know, just gone into the second round. It's the question marks on him. I've got incredible, but you know, I think he can definitely play. But we see a lot of receivers like that in the league. You know, I think a lot of corners can beat him out. I don't know if he's the type to get his head down or if he can just keep coming back. We'll have to wait and see on our one with him. But, the rest of the draft, Angelo Blackson, Justin Fowler, Alabama, you know, great Alabama fullback. You know, he can do it all. A lot of toughness. A great player they had in the seventh round, I thought, was Trey McBride. I was shocked to see him still there out of William and Mary. He's great on film and is a bit of a steal. He's a very good player. And also DeAndre's Mount, outside linebacker, excellent size and strength, you know, and he brings depth to the line. Linebacker core. Yeah, I'm gonna give him a B, just a B for me. A solid B.
All right, James, what was your thoughts on the Titans draft?
I didn't like it for several reasons, and Marcus Mariota is primary among them. When we are having an honest discussion about whether Marcus Mariota can beat out a fifth-round pick from last year, that sets off a bit of red flags for me. This is a guy who, don't get me wrong, incredibly smart football player, but how many times have we seen incredibly smart football players fail at the next level? It happens more often than we would like to admit. On top of that, his physical tools, outside of his running ability and escapability, are pretty average as far as the quote-unquote arm talent. He also came from a system that really benefited him quite a lot, and I don't think that's something that you can expect out of him at the next level. I think it's also a testament to how bad this quarterback class was overall, that Mariota was almost the guy you had to take at some point in this draft class. But with that said, Ken Whisenhunt is a guy who will always get the best out of their quarterbacks. And if there's, I think there were two coaches that I think Mariota need, well, three coaches that Mariota needed to go to in order to succeed in this level of the NFL. Ken Whisenhunt was one, Andy Reid was the other, and Chip Kelly was the third. So I think this is the best possible place for Marcus Mariota, but I still don't see huge dividends coming from the future. With that said, Dorial Green Beckham has huge potential. He has the potential to be the best wide receiver in this draft. He also has the potential to go Kenny Britt on everybody. And that is, I think, the best way you can describe Dorial Green Beckham is there is the character concerns are what forced him down. Otherwise, I believe he would have been selected in front of a guy like Perriman. But that is just me. But overall, there's just nobody that I think Trey McBride is a really decent pick as well. At the very least, I think we're going to see him returning kicks. We might even see him as a slot guy, because I think that this Tennessee Titans team really needed wide receivers badly. And I'm always a guy who's a sucker for fullbacks who get drafted in the NFL draft. So I have to love the Fowler pick as well, just like Rodri does. Overall, but a C+.
All right. I actually lower than you, James. I gave him a C-. I really am not enamored with this draft. I was a big Zach Mettenberger guy. I said I would trade this pick for a king's ransom, whatever the most you could get, and move down. You know, if it was the 6 to the Jets, if it was 5 to the Washington Redskins, if it was 12 to the, you know, to the Browns, I would have made it happen. Personally, I like Marcus Mariota. And this could very well come back to bite, you know, me and you in the face, James. And he could turn out to be the next, you know, Peyton Manning. I just don't feel like the Tennessee Titans are a quarterback away. And what I really hate about this draft, and I use the word hate obviously loosely, is you look at this draft, there's no secondary help at all. This team was horrible in the secondary last year. The only reason why their numbers on paper look good against secondary is because they were so bad against the runs that teams did not have to throw the ball. But if you look at catch efficiency, the Tennessee Titans were one of the bottom three teams in the league last year in allowing catches. So with that said, you know, they did sign Parrish Cox from the Niners in the offseason, but I would have liked to have seen a corner selected. This was a really deep class for the secondary. Not one player selected for the corner position. Not one player selected. Not one player selected on the at the safety position. And you look at the 10 plus picks they had. It's a little bit eye popping. I think that you can see Ken Whisenhunt is investing in the running game, trying to get the running game going. And I understand why, whether it's Mettenberger or Mariota that starts. You need weapons and you need to be able to run the ball. But the problem is, as you guys know, if you can't stop the other team from scoring, if you're one of the five worst teams in the league at stopping the run, if you're one of the five worst teams when it comes to getting off the field on third downs, it's not going to matter how well you run the ball because you're always going to be playing from behind. And that's the problem I have with this draft. I almost feel like the Tennessee Titans played it too safe. This is one of my least favorite drafts in the entire draft. And I'm trying really hard not to be overly critical, but, you know, because of, you know, everybody has different players, per se, that they may have selected, but I am just not a fan. With that said, Rodri, I'm going to come to you, buddy. The Houston Texans, pretty decent year under first-year head coach Bill O'Brien. He pretty solid. They were in the playoff hunt right up until the last game of the season. So they did pretty well for themselves. So with that said, Houston Texans, what did you think about their draft? They had a pretty decent draft. Kevin Johnson, cornerback from Wake Forest, round one. Round two, Benardrick McKinney, inside linebacker, Mississippi State. Round three, Jalen Strong, wide receiver, Arizona State. Round five, Keith Murphy, wide receiver, Michigan State. Round six, Rashard Cleet, outside linebacker, South Florida. Round six, Christian Covington, defensive tackle, Rice. And in round seven, Kenny Hilliard, running back from LSU. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, not a bad draft. Kevin Johnson, I thought, was a good pick, starting off at 16. Trey Waynes I also had Peters ahead of him, but, you know, he can come in and do a good job. He's a smooth player, you know, and he pressed the time as a starter right away. Jonathan Joseph in the final year of his contract also, so they needed somebody to come in and push Jonathan Joseph. I think he'll do that. Benardrick McKinney, I love Benardrick McKinney out of Mississippi State. The thumper in the run game, you know, they badly needed that. They had an issue with inside linebacker last year with Cushion and all the stuff that went on there. And he's a big power linebacker and they needed that, you know, 6'4", to almost 250. He'd be a welcome addition to that linebacking core. Jalen Strong is a good receiver. Obviously Andre Johnson's gone, so he'll be a nice complement to DeAndre Hopkins if he can start straight away at 6'2", 217. You know, he's got good size. I know a lot of people like Jalen Strong of Arizona State. You know, he's a Sun Devil, so you've got to love him for that. A great pick for the Texans, that is, actually. He's a big, strong receiver, you know, and he catch almost anything that's thrown his way. You know, I think watching him back on tape now, yeah, good pick. And round three, Shockey actually slipped there. And then round five, they picked back up, you know, with Mumphrey at Michigan State, they picked back up with another receiver. So, Colton, Pete, Kenny Hilliard out of LSU, you know, big name, sort of underachieved a bit, I thought, at LSU. Catches well, but, you know, he's a one-speed runner without much burst, if that makes sense, so I didn't really like that pick. I'm going to give him a B-plus based on the first three picks. I'm going to go solid B-plus for the Houston Texans. Kevin Johnson, Bernardo McKinney, and Jalen Strong, I think, will have an impact. For that, I'm going to give him a B-plus.
All right, James, what's your thoughts on the Houston Texans draft?
I'm going to give it a B-plus, a lot of reasons that Rodri already touched on. I think Kevin Johnson starts right away. Best corner right outside of Trey Williams. Just like that pick. I love Benardrick McKinney. I think he's going to be a staple on that in that linebacking core for a long time. I think that he starts right away. I think that he plays at an incredibly high level, and especially when we're talking about that defensive line they have in front of him, I think that he's going to excel at the next level. Jalen Strong, I thought, was a steal in round three. There was a ton of value this year at round three. I'm just starting to realize how many times I say that this guy was a steal in round three. But Jalen Strong definitely fits that mold as well. I would not have been surprised at all if he got selected round two. And I think that he is a guy who ends up starting relatively early in his career. Keith Mumphrey, another guy I think has a lot of potential to him. Probably not a starter right away, but could develop into something nice. And Kenny Hilliard is a guy, and that's something that the Texans do really well, is find guys that nobody believes in late in drafts and gets themselves into a position where they draft those guys and they turn out to be surprisingly good. And I think Kenny Hilliard, could potentially be one of those guys. They took Alfred Blue last year and ended up being one of those guys. I think that Kenny Hilliard could also potentially be one of those guys.
All right, we got one team left, guys, and we're starting to head into overtime, so I'm going to keep mine short and sweet. I completely agree with you guys. I also gave them a B-plus based on their first three picks. Like all three of them, I think they're impact day one starters. And I will tell you this. A former NFL scout that we had on our show, Rodri, I know you know this, he now works for the Sporting News as their head draft analyst. He said, without unequivocally, that Jalen Strong was the best wide receiver in this draft. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. He also said he was going to run a lot faster than people thought at the combine, and that did come to be true. He ran a 4.4, so We'll definitely keep an eye on this situation. The last team is the Indianapolis Colts. This is the team that is kind of the staple, if you will, of this division right now. They've made a lot of moves in the offseason. But just speaking specifically about their draft, you look at what they did in the draft, guys, picking from pick 29, and, you know, I think they had somewhat of an up and down draft, but I'm interested to hear and to see what you guys said. Took Philip Dorsett in round one, the wide receiver from Miami. DeJuan Smith and cornerback from Florida Atlantic in round three. They had no second round pick. Henry Anderson, defensive end from Stanford, is their other third round pick. Round four saw them take Clayton Gathers, strong safety from Central Florida. Round five, they took David Perry, nose tackle from Stanford. Round six, they took Josh Robinson, running back from Mississippi State. Their other round six, they took Amaro Herrera, inside linebacker from Georgia. And finally, they took Denzel Good, offensive tackle from Mars Hill. James, what was your thoughts on this draft?
This, in my opinion, in my personal opinion, is the worst draft of the entirety of the NFL. I gave it a D, a solid D, and And here's the thing, like, there are some guys I like Josh Robinson. I think that Josh Robinson is a really good pick in round six. I think that Frank Gore probably has a year or two left. And there are a bunch of guys who are question marks after that. Vic Ballard, can he return after so many ACL tears? What's the deal with, there's a lot of question marks in the position. I think Josh Robinson has a potential to start early, but Philip Dorsett, I think, is a speed guy who might not see the field until year two or three. And I'm talking about as even a third wide receiver. I have no idea why they, because Dante Moncrief, I have a higher grade on Moncrief than I do on than I did on Philip Dorsett, who, I mean, last year Dante Moncrief fell a lot further than I expected. Juwan Smith is a guy that I think is a positive. I think that there's a potential that we see him start instantly. With their biggest need being at safety, waiting so long and selecting Clayton Gaithers is not something that I am in love with either. There's just not a lot for me to clap about in this draft. I gave it a D.
All right. Rodri, what's your thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts draft?
Yeah, I know. I knew GM Ryan Grigson needed to address that defense, and he did it. You know, he did it in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and seventh pick. So he done it. You know, he done it with a few of the picks. And for me, Philip Dorsett, you know, he's like just like T.Y. Hilton. You know, look at the speed they've got on offense now. It's quite scary. You know, I think back to Marvin Harrison, and he reminded me a bit of T.Y. Hilton, but then we got another one in Philip Dorsett. So with those two, you know, this kid can fly. He can absolutely burn the field up. And Andrew Luck's going to be happy with that. You know, it's not a great draft. I agree with James there. It's not an eye-opening, like, wow draft, but it's just very average. I'm going to give it another B. Solid B. But yeah, Josh Robinson, player I like at the Mississippi State, good running back. David Perry, you know, he needs to beef up a bit. He can be a good inside. You know, there's a lot of question marks on these plays, can be good. You know, and I like Grigson, Gano, I like the way they think. They know they're intelligent defensive guys, and they must have seen somebody in these players. So I'm gonna let him play it out before I judge it too much, and it's gonna say B. But I like Philip Dorsett, and I like what he gives to Andrew Luck. And John Smith also is a good player, and I think he can flat out play. They ran a nice draft up in the third round, so yeah, see how it plays out. But I give him a B.
I give him a C minus, guys. For me, this draft went wrong with the very first pick. Dorsett is a good player. I'm not taking anything away from him, but you look at what the strength of this team is. It's a passing game, as James mentioned. You know, they have Moncrief. They have Yeldon. You know, they have weapons already on offense. They have Waylon. They have guys that catch the ball. You had your biggest need, which we all agree, is strong safety. I mean, you look at what Blunt did to them. Sure, you could blame it on the defensive line or linebackers, but the safety is just as important, the strong safety coming up to fill. And that's where this team has struggled. And the fact that Landon Collins fell all the way to pick 29, and you passed on Landon Collins to pick a position that this kid's probably going to be your third or fourth wide receiver. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Not to mention that, but I don't think, you know, granted, I know he's got the speed, and I know there's, you know, Steve Smiths out there that are number one wide receivers with, you know, that are under 5'10", but I just don't think this kid is too small, too frail. I don't ever see him being that elite guy. If he is, you know what, I'll take it back someday, but I agree with James. I gave him a C-. I really, honestly, truly, and I know this is a very good team, but the only player I see making any kind of immediate impact is DeJuan Smith in the secondary, and that's really it. Gathers is a developmental guy. He's a couple years out, probably. He has a ways to go. But, guys, we have one more week of grading. I really appreciate all your help once again. Next week we'll be talking about the AFC West and East, and it should be interesting. James, give me any final thoughts. We appreciate you joining us again today. Give me a final thought here before we get out of the kitchen.
No, I'm good. Happy to be here. Happy to be back on the air after a long hiatus. Thank you and Rotary for allowing me to the opportunity to do this again. I really appreciate it, and I can't wait for next week, guys.
All right, Rotary, any final thoughts, buddy, before we head out of the kitchen this week? Anything you want to address? Thank you so much for joining me once again, my friend.
No, thank you, my friend. Just glad we said something about Justin Smith. You know, that was a good point we had to make. You know, great player. Sad to see him go. SportsCityChefs.com. You know, we got UK, US. It's up on the website. Read the columns, player interviews. Looking forward to next week. Finish this little segment off with a bang next week, bud. And all the best. Have a good week.
All right, guys. Well, that was James Greenwood and Rory Jones. You could check us out on Facebook at SportsCityChefs.com. You can also, or you can go to our website, SportsCityChefs.com. We're also on Facebook. You can email us at SportsCityChefs@gmail.com as well to get, if you have any questions for us. From all of us here at the Sports City Chefs, we just want to thank you once again for tuning in to a wonderful episode, and we will be on next week to talk and discuss on our final episode the AFC East and West grades. So from all of us here at Sports City, have a great day, and we'll see you next week.